Welcome to the Super Quotient Club, aligning body, mind and soul with Yoga Sutra of Patanjali, 51st Sutra, Chapter 2. Bhaya Bhyantara Vishayakshepi Chaturtah. Inhalation, exhalation and the transition of breath is a constant movement between us and the whole. Our exhalation is like God's inhalation. Our inhalation is like God's exhalation. And achieving the fourth pranayama, a stillness in breath, is a step towards becoming one with our inner self, one with God, one with the universe. In the last episode, we discussed the first aspect of the fourth pranayama, the first essential quality of it being effortless effort. By being the action rather than just doing the action. Being the action and yet not attached to the action. Not attached to the results of the action. Which aligns us to the power of the infinite and takes us to the infinite potentiality within us. We tend to think that I am the doer. I am the thinker. I am capable to deal with all the challenges. And this ego and mind is the cause of all our problems. To reach this state of effortless effort, we have to detach ourselves on three fronts. Firstly, attachment to the result. Secondly, attachment to the action. And thirdly, attachment to the ego. To experience freedom from these attachments that limit us, we need freedom from our thoughts, freedom from the constant mental chatter that creates these emotions, attachments, and fears. We need freedom from our mind that binds us down. We need to be liberated from our mind that makes us think we are our mind, our thoughts, or our emotions. There is no doubt that our mind is a great tool with intellect, memory, visualization, and creative dimensions. However, we need to be in control of the mind, to use the tool to serve us and not to be ruled by our mind. The constant mental chatter, like waves of disturbance, befuddle the mind and cloud the real self within. These chitta vrittis or waves of disturbance in the mind do not allow us to realize our true being, our inner self, our witness consciousness, our Atma, the soul, the Purush within. Keeping out the very divine light and truth that would liberate us from the illusion that we are our mind. And this takes us to the second fundamental quality of the fourth pranayama, that it ends dualities. Non-duality is being undisturbed by dualistic thinking, being untouched by the crests and troughs of the thought waves, disturbing the mind. Non-duality is becoming one with our inner self, the witness consciousness, the soul, the Purush within, becoming one with our Atma, leading to becoming one with Paramatma, one with God, one with the universe. Non-duality has no yesterday, no today, no tomorrow. Hence, the present is called as eternal, because it has no past and no future, just being. Non-duality is eternity, infinite creativity, infinite potentiality, power, freedom. Just like the first aspect of the fourth pranayama, of it becoming effortless effort, as was earlier covered by Maharishi Patanjali in Yoga Sutra 2.47 for asanas, the second quality of it ending dualities has also been covered earlier in Yoga Sutra 2.48 for asanas. To recall, Tato Dvandva Nabhighatah, From then on, the seeker is undisturbed by the dualities, leading to ending the dualities of the mind. Non-duality can be understood with an analogy. We could equate it with the movement of the sun. We see and feel the day and night as vivid and as a duality at its peak, at the equator. Just like the crests and troughs of our breath and the rise and fall of our thoughts, we see the rise and fall of the sun. However, as we start moving towards the North Pole, the sun would start receding down, and the starkness of day and night would start receding. As we reach the North Pole, the day and night would become 6 months long each. During the 6 months daylight, the sun would keep moving around 360 degrees just above the horizon. And for the next 6 months night, the sun would move around 360 degrees just below the horizon. It is as if the North Pole ends the duality of day and night, as if it ends yesterday, today and tomorrow. Similarly, the fourth pranayama is the ending of the dualities of the breath, as well as of the mind, where the crest and trough of the inhalation and exhalation of the breath even out and become so subtle, like a straight line, that it resembles as if there is no movement of breath. And the mind calms down like a Himalayan lake. On reaching this non-duality state, we no longer fear death. We no longer try to protect happiness and do not need to run away from sadness. Nothing would impact us anymore. Since nothing impacts us, we would be constantly content. Content through sadness, happiness. No need to prove ourselves to others. No need for judgments. Realizing the power within brings an end to the ego and to the attachments and allows us to recognize and penetrate into infinity and eternity. Today, we have with us as our guest, Sonu Sood, an anchor with radio and a leadership and life coach. Hi Sonu, welcome on board.
Hi Ajay, great to be here.
Sonu, do share with us how this concept of non-dualistic thinking is helping leaders worldwide.
Yes, sure. The transformation from dualistic thinking to non-dualistic thinking and doing the action to being the action are prime leadership programs, both for personal and professional growth. In fact, it is as much applicable to humanity as to leaders. Duality presents a challenge both to effective leadership and to effective living. Dualistic thinking assumes a universe where there are only two contrasting, mutually exclusive choices or realities. This dualistic thinking is either or, bad or good, negative or positive, and it has a powerful effect on our belief system and actions. Dualistic thinking contributes to our fears and concerns by presuming the false restriction that no other choices exist. When we think this way, we are locked in with little freedom. We may feel stuck in a situation or as though we lack a sense of independence. Our opportunities, our choices, and our willpower may seem stifled. We tend to react emotionally in such circumstances, sometimes not even aware of the reasons why. People are absorbed in dualistic thinking on a daily basis. We tend to evaluate the situations and people around us and our own thoughts and feelings on a binary scale. We often don't allow for a spectrum of possibilities. And this is the primary way dualistic thinking becomes a roadblock in our personal and professional growth. By identifying only two choices, we close off our ability to see other paths forward. How often are we advised by experts in business to think outside the box? Dualistic thinking is the perfect box. Instead of considering multiple ways we can succeed or ways our life, business and career can prosper, we are bouncing back and forth between the walls of our box. And how often do we judge others based on a narrow lens and thus metaphorically place them in a box? If we believe that something is good or bad, we have assigned a judgment based on our experience, learning or habits. Without our awareness being in control, biases shape our likes and dislikes, our judgments about people's character, abilities and potential. As with any bias, we are in the prejudging mode. Instead of evaluating each experience on its own merits, we evaluate situations or people based on the category our judgment places them in. Duality is a separating force. It separates us from others and from our authentic self. This can be very limiting to us and to the people we live or work with. Either your perspective or mine, my way or highway. This is a dualistic way of thinking. What is required is a non-dualistic thinking approach that encourages collaboration, teamwork, and mutual respect, where the ideas and opinions of others are also heard and respected. When we are in fear and feel threatened, we do not really want to hear and are neither interested in another's perspective. We fear looking at a different perspective from another's point of view would invalidate our own perspective. Nothing could be further from the truth. We can damage interpersonal relationships by maintaining this dualistic approach and lose out on opportunities, collaboration, and teamwork. When we are operating from a non-dualistic mindset, we can experience non-attachment to an outcome and invite and entertain new possibilities and perspectives that have a powerful impact. Duality blocks our progress. The more we can break through this either or good, bad, happy, sad mentality, the sooner we are on our way to nurturing greater consciousness and success in the workplace and in our lives. William Shakespeare said, "Nothing is either good or bad, but our thinking makes it so."
Thank you very much, Sonu. That was enlightening. And Sonu, could you share how leadership coaching is helping us reach this state of non-dualistic thinking?
Well, it's a self-realization process. There are many ways. Through observing our thoughts and recognizing duality at workplace and in our personal space. Also, listening to others' perspective vis-a-vis our thinking and noticing if we have any tension, anxiety or resistance to others' perspective and suggestions. If so, exploring why this might be so. And taking the process deeper, discovering if we have any fears or belief of negative outcome if our preferred way is not chosen. It's also about exploring a middle ground. Further, it's also through observing and being aware of whether we are having a dialogue or a debate. In a dialogue, it is a win-win. Both are interested in what the other person has to say. Whereas in a debate, it has a clear intention of either or that focuses on win or lose.
Thank you, Sonu. Sonu has just shared with us how much importance the understanding and practice of these concepts are being given worldwide, and that we can achieve this state through awareness and intellectual exercise and observation of our thoughts. Maharishi Patanjali collated these principles over 2000 years ago and guided us with a simple process of how to achieve this state. He directed us that all these concepts can be understood and achieved as part of a self-realization process, and that the end of dualities of our thinking is one of the benefits of practicing the fourth pranayama. We would notice that the concepts such as ending dualities and being the action rather than doing the action, leading to effortless effort, run through all eight angas or limbs of Ashtang Yoga. They, like many other yoga concepts, are like a common thread that run through all the limbs. No wonder they are called Yoga Sutra, that is, a sutra or thread running through all the limbs. These Yoga Sutra concepts are as much applicable to the eight limbs of yoga as they are to life itself. That is why yoga is about the body, mind and soul, and even more about how to live a fulfilling life. In fact, yoga is a way of life. In the coming episodes, we will talk about how this fourth pranayama leads us to answering two critical questions in our lives. First, who are we? And second, what is the purpose of our lives? See you soon.